Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to be this morning. How about you? God has blessed us with a beautiful spring day, and it's also a day of worship. Thank you for coming. Thank you for making the priority to be here, to worship God and to praise Him, and an opportunity for fellowship with others who believe in glory. It's important. Thank you for that choice. To our guests that are with us, thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you coming our way and spending a few moments in worship with us. This evening at 6 p.m., our evening service tonight, the sermon will be sexual integrity. And I know that's a bit of a touchy subject, but it's a biblical subject. I'll present it in a way for all audience to be able to appreciate what I'm presenting. But I particularly recommend parents make sure your teenagers come tonight. Even if you're not usually attending on Sunday night, this is one time I'd really appreciate that you'd be here and they hear this lesson and just spark some thinking in our minds about this important subject of sexual integrity. This morning I'd like to share with you a lesson following on from the great seminar we had yesterday. The Welcome to the Family seminar was concluded yesterday. We had a great turnout. We had about half the adults in our congregation came to the seminar. That was great. We had some good teaching from John Reed and David Schultz, an opportunity to focus on how we can do a better job at engaging our guests, serving our guests, and incorporating them into the body of Christ as time goes along. So the seminar is completed, but the work of Welcome to the Family is not completed. What we had today, yesterday, was a jumping off, if you will, into a new way of beginning to look at things so that we can use the talents that God gives us to better connect with our guests that are coming our direction. I'm confident there will be souls in heaven because you participated in yesterday's seminar, because you were blessed by it, you were encouraged by it, and you were equipped by it to reach out to others. This is a critical time in the life of the church. We can either take a seminar and we can put the little notebook on the shelf and say, okay, done that. But you know, seminars are not to just have and to put books on shelves. It's to change hearts and change lives. And what we want to do with the information we've received, the motivation we received from John yesterday, is just do a better job at connecting with our guest. So this morning I'd like to follow up that seminar with a sermon from Joshua chapter 1. I've simply titled it, What's Next? What's Next? Because in many ways our congregation is in a position similar to what Israel faced when Joshua took over from Moses to lead the Israelites. Moses had just died. Joshua was now leading Israel. And God had called his people, had been wandering in the wilderness, the desert, for 40 years. It was time to go knock on the doors of the promised land. It was time to go into the promised land. Now, there were people living there. So the people of Israel realized that they would not be able to overtake that without a fight. But they also knew that God was with them. The Canaanites were numerous and strong. And Israel knew the battle was coming. But they also knew that it was God's will that they possess that land. And the Lord himself would be with them through that process. So this morning, I'd like you to open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to take some of the principles from Joshua chapter 1 and apply them to the life of our congregation today. No, we're not planning to attack any of our neighbors. That's not what the subject of the sermon is about. But it is saying this. We have an opportunity as a congregation to change some direction. Because in some ways, we've been wandering in the wilderness for a while, haven't we, as a church? We've seen some decline in our community. We have a lot of people who have aged out and many have passed on. We also have people that are members of our congregation who are not able to join us because they're physically not able to get out. They're shut-ins. We have a large number of those. We have many people who have moved away. But here's the good news. God sends us every week guests to our congregation. We can have new folks join us, be a part of the body of Christ here, learn the gospel, obey the gospel, encourage us as we encourage them. So brothers and sisters, although our congregation has experienced some numeric decline in the last dozen years or so, God is not through with us as his people. And he gives us an opportunity. And I suggest to you there's a promised land that we can take with God's help, that he wants us to take. But we've got to have the courage to cross the river to do it. We have to have the courage to get in, out of our comfort zones and to reach out and make a difference in the lives of people. And that's what I'd like to share with you this morning from Joshua chapter 1. A number of people, independent of each other this year, have said, I sense God's beginning to move us toward a turning point as a congregation. Turning points are great opportunities to make change. Not change of the gospel, but change in some of our methods of doing things that will bring fruit for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this sense that the tide is beginning to turn is my hope and prayer that the Welcome to the Family ministry will be a major part as we implement these principles in beginning to turn that tide. But let me tell you something. We're not wanting the tide to turn simply because we want more people in the church building. We do want this church building full, amen? But you know, that's not why we're doing this. Because we're doing this because souls need Jesus Christ. Not just because we want the church building full. It's because souls need Jesus Christ. So we're in need of some change. We're ready for some change. We have some new tools to help affect that change in our ministry. And many have told me that they're beginning to sense the stabilization and some decline we've experienced for years as a congregation and some new work among us. We are blessed with guests. We've had a baptism every month for over a year on average. Now, that's not burning the bridges down. That's not, you know, everybody becoming Christians. But some are becoming Christians because of the work that God is doing through you. So don't grow weary in well-doing. The tide is turning. But we need God's help to possess the promised land. Now, let's begin to apply this from Joshua chapter 1. Let's read together verses 1 through 4. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon, from the great river the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. The message of Joshua, or to Joshua, I'd say, from the Lord is very simple. Get ready for something new. The Israelites have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. A whole generation has grown up. They know about scorpions. They know about desert. They also know about the quail and the manna that God said to provide for their needs. You see, there are people that have been grown up in the desert. That's their way of life. They know the desert. They expect the desert is the way life's always going to be. You spend 40 years of your life doing things, you expect that's the way life's always going to be, right? God was going to bring a change. And he's telling his people, get ready for something new. I bet those folks in the desert had a whole cookbook of manna and quail recipes, don't you? I mean, they had it mastered. And you knew how to put out a campfire when soon as the pillar of fire moved over you or the cloud of God's presence moved over and moved you beyond of where you were. You knew how to stomp out that campfire, pack up those tents, and get on the road again. 40 years Israel had been a nomadic people. 40 years they'd been wandering in the wilderness. 40 years they had been waiting for God's timing to lead them into the promised land. And now in Joshua chapter 1, the time has come. Get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give you. You know about God's promises to Abraham, your descendants. You were his descendants, is what Joshua is being told. You know about God's promise to the Israelites to possess the land of Canaan. But you've got to go to war for it. It's not a promise that comes like a lightning bolt out of the sky. And brothers and sisters, the promise of God to be with us and to lead us and to make us effective witnesses for him in this community is not going to be a lightning bolt out of the sky. It's going to be from us rolling up our sleeves and doing what God has called us to do and be. Get ready for something new. Get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready to do some things differently. Get ready for some battles, yes. Some difficult times, yes. But some victorious times as well. You see, you probably, if you're facing that opportunity to leave the desert, you're beginning to think, it's time for something new. But I'm a mixed bag of emotions. I've been in the desert for 40 years. I'm comfortable here. I know what to do when a scorpion comes. Get rid of him. By the way, I was stung by a scorpion when I was 8 years old. I don't recommend it. You get used to our ways of doing things. And when we think about change into a new land, not a desert land, but a new land, there's hope, but there's also a little fear and a lot of anxiety, because I'm going to have to throw away the manna and quail recipes because God's not going to give the manna and quail anymore. Once we leave the wilderness, we're going to have to raise our own crops. We're going to have to raise our own cattle. God's not going to provide the way He has. We're going to be a little more on our own. But God will still be with us. God is calling us as a congregation to something new. Effective outreach, connecting hearts to Him. And connecting hearts of folks in the body of Christ in this church. And maybe this is something new for you. You've never done outreach before. You don't know how to relate to people that aren't Christians. If you feel a little uneasy about it, welcome to the club. But you know something? Feeling uneasy is not a bad thing. It will help us do our best as we have been equipped from that seminar, and we will continue to be equipped through the Welcome to the Family Ministry in order to reach out to our guests and do a better job of connecting them, serving them, getting acquainted with them. Some of them will be baptized into Christ. Some of them will be members of our congregation because you took the training and you cared and you implemented these principles. So if you're a little scared, that's okay. It's a little scary when you think about crossing the Jordan and going into a land of milk and honey, and you haven't been there before, and there's some big people that live there. And there's some folks in the world that do not like Christians. I understand that. But the good news is the majority of our culture is still open if we present truth in love. It's time to leave the wilderness for the promised land. And with the Lord's help, we can do this. In verse 5 and 9, Joshua is reminded that the Lord is with us. Look at verse 5, look at verse 9. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, God says, I'll be with you, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. We can't do this. We can't. But God can. It's not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Is the power is not in us. The power is in God, in the Word of God. Did you know you cannot change anybody else's heart and soul? But God can. And God can use you to do it. But it's not going to be you doing it. It's not your power. It's not your ability. It's God within you. So we can't do this job. God can do this job. But let me tell you something. We can't do it without the Lord, but the Lord won't do it without us. If we expect that God's going to work apart from us and all we got to do is sit on our hands and this is going to happen, ain't happening, folks. God works through people who pick up the hammers and the saws and do their own construction. God works through people who are willing to be workers for the Him. So the task is before us, yes. It's time to pick up the hammers and the saws and the nails and the screwdrivers and everything else and go about building God's kingdom in this place. But again, it's not just so we can have a full building. We'd like a full building. It's also because we want hearts full of Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing. God is with us. In the Great Commission, what did Jesus say? Go make disciples of all nations, everywhere, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even until the end of the world. You maybe have heard the old story about the brother who knew this in the King James Version, where it says, and lo, I'm with you always. And this brother was always afraid to fly in airplanes, and the reason was Matthew chapter 28. He said, the Lord said, I'm with you lo. He didn't say anything about high. The Lord is with us. Whatever version you read, He is with us in this task. So if you feel like, oh man, I can't do this, and this is hard, I'm just going to forget about this outreach bit and then bring in somebody to Christ, don't let Satan do that to you. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't change people. God can. But God uses us as mediators to make a difference in people's lives, to bring them to Him. We can't. God can. And God won't do it without us. Number three. The Lord tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. And he doesn't just tell him once. He tells him three times. Take a look at verse 6, 7, and 9. The Lord says, be strong and courageous because you will lead the people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. And then verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Now, why do you think the Lord would have to tell Joshua three times to be strong and courageous? Because Joshua's scared to death. Moses has been the leader of Israel. Moses is dead. Joshua's now in charge. Have you ever been scared to do something new? Does reaching out to your neighbor or friend a little scary sometimes? Yeah? I want you to remember this verse. Be strong and courageous. One place, be strong and very courageous. Three times Joshua was told, be strong and very courageous. Or be strong and courageous. Three times. You know, God knows we have fears. God knows that we have insecurities. God knows that we don't have the power within ourselves. But we do have the power from the Lord if we depend upon Him. Be strong and courageous in the work that God has called us to do and to be. Again, we can't change human hearts. God can, but God won't do it without us. Number four this morning, take a look at verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. Obey all the law my servant Moses gave you to do. Do not turn to it, or from it, excuse me, to the right or to the left, and do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Brothers and sisters, I want to assure you of this. It's our methods that need to change, not the message. The message of the Word of God shall not change from being preached in this place. Our elders will see to that. I will see to that. We're not here to change the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're only here to change some methods to be more effective servants of Jesus Christ. You see the difference? Sometimes we confuse our methods with our mission. And we dare not love our methods more than we love our mission. Our mission is connecting people to Jesus Christ, discipling them, bringing them up in Him, serving humanity. That's our mission. That doesn't change. But some of our methods have changed, need to change, and will change. We are rooted in the Bible. Loyalty to the Word of God is essential. It is essential. And the Lord said, Moses, these are things that will not change. Obey the law from the Lord. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left. Meditate on it. Let it be a part of you. That's the foundation of your life. We dare not move from that. Loyalty to the Word of God cannot change and will not. But brothers and sisters, sometimes methods change. I was told many years ago this church had joy buses that went into the community and picked up children to bring to Bible classes. That's great, but you know what? Those days are past. Because folks won't let their kids go with strangers anymore, right? We understand that. I worked with a church that had joy buses in North Bend, Oregon. We had five buses that went through the community, and we picked up kids and brought them to church, and that was great, but it was a ministry for a period of time, and the times changed, and that ministry had to change. How many of you remember Jewel Miller film strips? Can I see a couple hands? A couple of you have seen Jewel Miller film strips. I think they came out in the 50s or maybe the 60s. I remember them as a kid. I was a kid in the 60s, okay? That explains a lot, but never mind. But Jewel Miller film strips, you had this little record that you played, and then the film strips, and you advanced from one to the next, And it was a teaching system to teach people some of the basics of the Bible. And it was a good method. How many of you have used Jewel Miller film strips in the last 2 weeks? Probably nobody. Because we don't use Jewel Miller film strips anymore. It doesn't apply to our culture. It's not technologically where our culture is. Are there other tools? Yes. But we don't use Jewel Miller film strips anymore. You see, methods change. The message cannot change. When I was growing up, the church I grew up in had, back in the old days, they called them protracted meetings. You know what the word protracted means? It means long, nigh on to eternal. And we had protracted gospel meetings. That means gospel meetings went for at least 2 weeks, sometimes three. That's what I call protracted. That's really drawing it out. I don't know of congregations that are doing 2 or 3 week meetings anymore. It doesn't work in our culture. Shorter meetings, yes, maybe so, but not long meetings. Why? Because the methods don't work in our culture anymore. So we find new ways. But brothers and sisters, we cannot lose our loyalty to the Word of God. We must maintain our loyalty, but our loyalty is not to the methods that were used a generation ago. Our loyalty is to the message of Jesus Christ 2 millennia ago. Let's keep in mind the difference. Verse 10 and 11. Let's get ready for some positive change. Look at verse 10 and 11. So Joshua ordered the officials of the people, go throughout the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. God says, there's time is ready. Get your supplies ready. We're about to cross the Jordan. We're breaking camp. We're going to go in and possess the land. The Welcome to the Family seminar is now behind us. But the implementation of the seminar is still ahead of us. So now's the time we get our, quote, supplies ready. We get ready to the battles that God is calling us to. Battles for human hearts. To help people know Jesus. To help lives to be changed in positive ways for Christ. As a congregation, we are blessed to have a number of people that are leading the Welcome to the Family ministry. Kevin White's doing an outstanding job coordinating the overall ministry, not just the seminar, but the ministry that follows. Tony Remus is coordinating the greeting side and will be putting together a team of greeters, and some of you will want to be on that team to greet people in more official places around the building to make sure that they're welcome. Doesn't mean we can't greet our visitors. All of us can greet our visitors, but we need some people that are specially designed to be, say, at the outside of the building when they come, folks come in, that can be greeted, can be welcomed, can be directed. We need things of this nature. And Tony's going to be putting together a team. And if you're gifted in that and you're called to that, you need to see Tony. She'd love to talk to you. George Lukes will be in charge of the tracking ministry. Now, tracking means like tracking attendance of those who visit us regularly. And discipleship growth of our guests as they grow in understanding the gospel of Christ. And George will organize this team. Now, this team of trackers are people who really excel at Excel, okay? If you are a detail person and you like make sure all the details are right, George Lukes will love to talk to you because the tracking ministry will be put in place over the weeks that come. Follow-up team. We need folks to follow up with our guests just to say thank you for coming, to socially get acquainted with them, to conduct Bible studies when they're ready for Bible studies and ask biblical questions. And Mike Sherman's volunteered to lead this follow-up team. And by the way, I quickly volunteered to Mike and said, I want to be on the follow-up team. Leave me a place on the follow-up team, okay? That's my place. I don't believe I'm called to the tracking team. Somebody else can do that, but I want to be on the follow-up team. Assimilation is the fourth team. As people visit and become part of the congregation, sometimes they need a little help making friendships in the church and also finding good tasks to do in the body of Christ. Because everybody needs to feel like I belong. I've got a task to do, not just that I'm coming for a pew, but I've got a task to do. So nurturing fellowship, relationships, and helping folks connect to meaningful tasks are the job of the assimilation team. And we're thankful that Tyler and Kelsey Martin have volunteered to lead that team. And if those are things you're interested in, you can be talking to Tyler and Kelsey. And in the weeks to come, that team will be forming as well. So now is the time to begin to get ready for positive change and begin to implement the principles we learned in that great seminar yesterday. Because the promised land is before us, and it's time to take possession of it. Do you like weddings? It got deadly silence. You do like weddings, don't you? Okay. Maybe, I thought maybe you were scared of weddings. I was scared of weddings before I got married. When I was engaged, and I was at the age where many of my friends were going to weddings and were getting married, I was going to their weddings, and I would sit there as they were saying, I do, and all that stuff. And you know what I'd do? I'd sweat. I would sweat. Because I knew it was going to be me in a few months. And I knew that saying I do carried some gravity with it, right? It did. But weddings are fun. Weddings are great. Weddings are time of celebration. And a wedding, including the reception, might last 2, 3, maybe 4 hours in some extreme cases. Yesterday we had the wedding. We had the celebration, the welcome to the family seminar. And it was great. And we had a great reception luncheon, too, for those who helped coordinate that. Thank you very much. It was just a good time together. But that was a concentrated time of celebration and of learning. But you know something? Something follows a wedding. It's called M-A-R-R-I-A-G-E, marriage. Marriage follows a wedding, right? Have you noticed that? That naturally occurs. You expect it. Nobody comes in and says, oh, I'd like to get married next weekend. Well, let's talk about your marriage plans for your marriage. Well, I don't really have any plans for marriage. I just want to get married. That makes no sense. So what I'm saying is the seminar was a wonderful kickoff to a, quote, marriage that comes as we begin to build these teams and begin to put into practice the principles we've been taught. So the seminar was great. It was a fun wedding, wasn't it? But you know what? The wedding begins the marriage. And the seminar begins the process of putting these principles into practice in our lives and in our congregation. So let's think of it that way. The four teams I've mentioned will be assembled and trained in the next few weeks under the leadership overall of Kevin White, our Welcome to the Family leader in the congregation, under Tony's leadership, the greeting, organizing the greeting, George Luke's the tracking, Mike Sherman the follow-up, Tyler and Kelsey the assimilation. Each of these teams is interdependent, and they're dependent upon each other. They have to work together like all the chains have to work together, all the links have to work together in a chain. If you want to be a part of one of those teams, you need to see those folks that I've mentioned. And I hope many of you will. Everyone in the church does not have to volunteer to be a part of the team. Even if you went to the seminar, we're not going to twist your arm to be a part of the team, but we want you to think about how God can use you, maybe in some ways that you have never thought about before. Maybe you've been fearful of crossing that river into a new promised land. God has more plans for you than you may think. Give it a try. You and I do not need to wait until the official structure of the Welcome to the Family ministry is in place to begin practicing these principles. For example, when you see someone in our assembly areas in the foyer that you don't know, maybe you've seen their face or you just don't know them, but if you're within 10 feet of them, it's very appropriate to smile, say hello, introduce yourself. And then we don't know, what do we say after that? If you don't know what to say after it, don't be canned about it. But if you really don't know what to say about it, after, hi, my name's Mark, you can say, well, do you live here in the Vallejo area? We have visitors that visit us that are from Timbuktu because there's a freeway over here. We're glad to have people stop in and pass by and worship with our congregation. They're from New Jersey. They're still welcome here, right? Okay. But many folks visit from the community as well. You can also have a little anxiety because you go, I think I may have seen this person, but I should know who they are, but I don't know them. One of the ways you can break that ice is just say, how long have you been worshiping in this church? And if they say 3 or 4 years, then you know, well, I should have probably gotten acquainted with this person, but just haven't. But you don't have to admit that. Now you know they've been worshiping here 3 or 4 years. So those are some questions that can kind of help in our introductions to our guests that come our way. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for being the God of opportunity. Father, the God who calls us through the deserts of life toward promised land experiences. Give us the faith, Father, to trust in you, to be strong and courageous in your strength, not our own abilities. And to know, Father, your calling and your work in our lives is a powerful work for good. Lord, we pray that you would bless us as we step out on faith and begin to put into place some of these new ministries in our congregation, because we have heard your call, because we know that people need Jesus. The community needs to be connected to and served. Father, bless us to be that welcoming church, because you have a welcoming message in Christ. Guide our steps, encourage our hearts, keep us busy for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Our mission is connecting people to the Lord. This morning, though, we're going to conclude this sermon with an invitation. Because if you've not yet connected your heart to Jesus Christ, if you haven't confessed your faith in Jesus, that he's God's Son, repented of sins, and be buried with him in baptism, you can become a Christian by that simple formula. Confession of your faith, repentance of sin, and being baptized into Christ. If you're ready to make Jesus Lord, we'd love to assist you this morning in that gospel obedience. Just come to the front and let us know how we can serve. Let's stand together. Let's sing.